Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening. Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things 211. Brought to you by Manscaped, who has taken a step up from Balloween to bring your face the cleanest shave it's ever seen. So this season, no need to toil and trouble. Is that toil or toll? Toil and trouble. Manscaped's all-new Handyman is the best way to get rid of that stubble. Featuring a compact design and next-gen skin-safe technology, the Handyman was designed to give you that smooth finish without the mess of a traditional shave. Get the sweetest...
They ran out of rhymes. They used up their budget.
Get the sweetest treat this Halloween by going to manscaped.com and use the code WESAYTHINGS20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Thank you, Manscaped, for giving us many a products to not only cater to our testicular area, but also now our fat, disgusting faces as well. So Manscaped, of course, one of our longtime, longstanding sponsors. If you guys need any products relating to that, it obviously helps the podcast if you go to manscaped.com and purchase stuff with the We Say Things 20 promo code. So thank you very much to the patrons.
On we go.
I believe you said you'd be doing the first half for the next millennia, correct?
Okay, sure. Let's do that. Thank you to Humbled Bookmaker. Compendium is crap, remote panels are whack, chaos and joy, team farts are musical, we love Dota, it's so, so beautiful. I thought this was going to be some sort of a rhyme as well.
It's good stuff.
Ed Mickle Hugo, the shed pickle hoe. Zarzar, parentheses, used the $30 he saved on the compendium to subscribe to We Say Things to in Bruges tier. Very good.
Well done, sir. Good job. Yes.
The Shazcast. Wife hates my belch.
Understandable.
Mr. I love the NBA segment is Jimmy Butler, the Jenkins of the NBA. You've answered this previously, I believe.
Correct. You weren't listening, as always.
You said yes.
Yes.
I remember that. Monkey Man asks Suns fan, do you follow college basketball at all? And if so, who is your team?
No. Thank you.
You don't watch that tier two shit. You just watch the best of the best.
That's right.
Pepperballs, T-Coil, Rupus, Q-Ludes is ready to praise the podcast. Stupid Copilot is matchmaking really better now. Yes, but it's maybe not as good as it was right when the new behavior score patch came out. It was great for 2 weeks, and then now it's still clearly better than it was before, but not as good. D2 Bowie, Lab Dota, Yatoro does it again, Sinner, and we'll see if he does it again in the coming 2 weeks as well. And Magdev.
Thank you also to Hats Off to Val for the recent updates. Next up, marketing question mark. Games for Falling Asleep will see you in Seattle. Disco Farm D, The Mega Pope, Zan Xavier, Nate Thicko, 01 Ham Scroats, Shark TM, Janie, Dop, nothing to see here, Underscore Man, Eve Remort, Ben Broomhead cannot comprehend why Doom keeps getting nerfed with such a low win rate, Anonymous, and despite popular belief, goldfish have a memory that lasts for months. Mr. Niebling, really?
Huh.
I never knew. So better if I mine. Say that my, well, I guess if I still say that my memory is like a goldfish, it's still kind of a diss. Months is pretty bad still.
Better than me. So you could start saying you have a memory of a sinned.
Good one.
I'm sure people will get it. Especially if you talk to people that have nothing to do with Dota.
Yeah. Okay, let's get started with the podcast. And we're going to get started with an unfortunate thing that's happening in the world right now. As you guys know, we sometimes talk about the greater outside Dota area occasionally when it affects people that we know or it's just a big deal. And the stuff that's happening in Israel and Palestine, I know people are throwing out opinions left and right. This feels like, at least from the Western side, it's not like Ukraine versus, I don't want to make this like it's a death match or something, but the Ukraine and Russia thing, it was very one-sided in terms of, at least from the Western side, who they're supporting. This one is very polarizing on either side because it's a very rich history from both sides that goes back like 100 years to when this kind of just started, right? So there's been a lot of aggression, a lot of innocent people dying. And the thing that I'm going to say, regardless of people's opinion on stuff, is people shouldn't be dying, period. Innocent people should never die, and regardless of what the reason is, on both sides, should be ashamed. So that's the only thing that I'm going to say is I hope that somehow peace can be found and we can go back to living normal lives on that side of the world, because that side of the world can get, obviously there's a lot of undertone in terms of like different factions supporting, like the US, for example, is very in bed with Israel and whatnot for strategical reasons, whatnot. There's just a million different things, right? So for me, I'm not going to get too in depth. Just going to say that if you guys are affected by this, we're really sorry and we hope that it gets better.
Yeah. I mean, I basically, for the most part, I will just echo what you said, right? Obviously, I feel like it goes without saying that innocent people and civilians should never become a part of conflicts like this, but it's always really sad news when things like this get to that level and escalate like that. I just want to add, I think something that I'm noticing a lot, and I don't know if it's always been to this extent, but I feel like in the last like decade or two, I feel like complex issues are becoming more and more binary in the way they're presented. You know what I mean? It's like you're either on team A or B, and there's one good guy and one bad guy. Mm. And as a matter of fact, in conflicts like this, usually either side has bad actors that are doing things in bad faith, whereas a lot of the people and the majority and a lot of times of the countries are not interested in what's going on, or interested is the wrong word, do not support what is going on, don't want it. And the way things are presented in the media, and this is not for me to be like, oh, never trust the media is full of shit or whatever, but I think the reporting on this, a lot of the time, depending on where you read and what you read and being selective, is not all-encompassing. It doesn't explain the issues in enough depth if you just watch or read one thing or two things. So I think for issues like this, the worst thing you can do is to just jump to a conclusion based on the first thing you hear, because the way it's presented sounds like it's very... Generally, when I read a piece of news about this, there's sometimes some journalism about it that seems to have a bit more nuance and is a bit more understanding of the depth of the conflict and of what is actually going on here or there. And I'm not going to try to present everything because I'm not knowledgeable enough about it to say with confidence. So I don't want to say anything that's misleading or misguiding or anything. But I will say, as a matter of fact, that it's not as simple as a lot of people make it out to be when they put forth their arguments. Mm. And I think that just hurts the situation, because ultimately, if people just try to make these issues simple when they aren't, you're not finding resolutions that way. The way you find resolutions to conflicts is to understand the complexity of them and then try to find some sort of common ground. And if you want to have some sort of international intervention or pressure coming in, it needs to be done for the right reasons, right? And with the right information. And that's obviously always going to be a challenge. But I think all in all, if you're watching this conflict from abroad, I think obviously the people that are part of it the people that live there or have family there will be more knowledgeable than the average person, obviously, about what's going on. But if you're watching from abroad and you're just like, yeah, Israel are great, or yeah, Palestine are great and Israel are the bad guys or whatever, it's probably not, you know, as black and white as you think. Yeah, then you get into all these things about, okay, well, the bad actors on either side, why are they doing what they're doing? Is that also because they, you know, information, what is being conveyed to those groups as well, right? Like, is there indoctrination going on? Do they not, like, are you painting the other side in a light that's not really representative of what things really are, et cetera, et cetera. Yep. So... It's very complex, and I hope they Just like you, I hope we can find some sort of peace and a type of resolution. But unfortunately, by the looks of it, I don't think that's very likely to come anytime soon unless there's international intervention of some kind.
Yeah, agreed. Very messy situation. So if any of you that are watching are affected, your family's affected, we're very sorry, obviously. And we hope somehow something is resolved.
Yeah.
Do you have any games to recommend, Sindarin?
Quite the segue here, but we must continue with our outline.
Would you like to recommend Dota 2? Or
I do not, because it's free.
Counter-Strike?
So it's infinite value. That is also... Is that free?
CS2? It is, yeah.
It is free to play, right? Yeah, CSGO wasn't at one point in time. Anyway, I have two more games to recommend today. So, and I think you've played neither, probably, of these two. So the first one I want to recommend this time around is called Darkest Dungeon. Have you heard about this game?
I've heard it, yeah.
Okay. So essentially... Darkest Dungeon is a dungeon crawler game. I think it costs probably around like $25. I am just quickly going to look that up because it is a part of the presentation here. I just forgot to open it up. Yes, it's €24.50 right now, so probably $25 or something like that. Very important for me to note that the game I'm recommending is called Darkest Dungeon, not Darkest Dungeon 2. Darkest Dungeon was a glorious game and was unanimously loved by fans. Mm-hmm. Darkest Dungeon 2 is extremely polarizing and has received very, very much poorer reviews than the first one did. So I have to admit, I haven't even played the second game. But the first one was really, really great. It's kind of a one-of-a-kind game. It's a dungeon crawler where... You have a party of characters that need to go through a dungeon, and it's turn-based combat. And the way that the game functions is that the challenge is obviously, as with any game, when you descend in the dungeon, you have missions that you get from missions that you go on to complete in the dungeon, and you send a party of four people. And those four people have different skills and abilities, but they also have different personalities, which is very important because. What happens as you descend the dungeons is that people get overcome with despair. So a key mechanic in this game is crisis management, where your characters... This is a great metaphor for what happens when Dota games start going really badly, is that your party actually starts fighting each other. Sometimes they will attack each other. They will not want to obey your commands as the party leader of what to do. Whereas others rise to the occasion, and when things look the darkest, they, you know, raise the morale and they really push through as like a true hero, essentially. And managing their strengths and weaknesses and building a party that can complete the hardest dungeons is very challenging and very rewarding. And if you're into especially challenging games, your characters can die in this game and not get resurrected. So then you have to... rebuild your party and train them again, which might sound frustrating, but honestly, I think it's a good part of the game that it is like that, to not make it trivial. So you have to make good decisions and play it well. This game is definitely not for everyone, but if you're into turn-based combat at all and this kind of like strategy and dungeon crawling, I think this game is like basically a must play. I can see I have, I think, 90 hours of it in total playtime. So
what are fights like? Going. Exactly. Is it turn-based, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so it's turn-based combat. Like, the dungeons... Part of the dungeons are... It's kind of... If you think about Slay the Spire, like we talked about, when you go to a node in Slay the Spire, the node can be a combat node, or it can be a treasure node, or it can be a shop, right? In this game, when you enter a room in the dungeon, the room can be empty with just nothing. There can be enemies. There can be enemies and treasure. There can be treasure. There can be traps. There can be some sort of interactive item in there that can help you with your morale, or that can poison you or curse you or whatever. So it's
almost like you're playing a video, board game.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah, it's kind of like a board game, but yeah, there's a lot of depth to it. So I would say definitely check that game out if it sounds interesting at all. Second game I'm going to recommend, you've seen this played. I don't know if you ever played with us, called Ember Knights.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Among our talent group at a couple of events, we have played this game, which is essentially a pixel art multiplayer Hades is the best way to explain it. It's obviously not I'm not going to sell this as the second coming of Hades or being as good, because it isn't. Hades is a one, it's like a 10 out of 10. But this game, I think, is €20, and it's a really fun social game. So you can either play it multiplayer with multiple controllers on the same computer, or you can play it online with different people, just making a party in multiplayer, like you invite your friends on Steam. And the way the game works is that at the start, you start in a city, you have nothing unlocked, and you have a couple of different characters to choose from, and then you go in and you play essentially a pretty fast roguelike session. I think getting through a run can take anywhere, if you're not very good or just a beginner, from maybe 10 minutes to up to 45. So if you have time for a game of Dota, you have time for a game of this. And as you progress, you unlock new features, you get new powers, and yeah, it's a roguelike. So when you complete a room or level up your character or whatever you want to call it, you can you get different options to choose from of how to improve your character. So it's about making a cool synergistic build, but you can both have synergy with yourself and with what your teammates do. And then you want to try to get through that run. And yeah, it's really fun. We played in early access. I don't actually know for a fact if the game is fully released yet or if it's still considered early access. But yeah, I would say this game is really fun. I have not played it for as many hours as many of the other games, if not all of the ones I've recommended. So as far as value for money, if you're looking for just just total play hours or whatever, it's probably not at the same level as the others, but it's a really fun game, and it has the added benefit of being an awesome social game, which I don't think I've recommended any of those yet. It's mainly been single-player stuff, but this one is very fun to play as a group of people at a LAN party or in an internet cafe or whatever. If you're into that kind of stuff, it's a great time. So, cool game. Ember Knights, €20.
Yep, I've seen you play it, and although I have not played, it does look fun. Good job, Sindarin.
Cool.
Good job,
buddy.
Let's go. Let's move on to TI-12, which they're not calling it that. TI-2023. Talent list is out, and we're invited, Sindarin. High five.
Yes. Let's go, baby.
High five. There we go.
We've known for a while, but the announcement was a long time coming. So, not sure why this year it was so long time coming, but it's finally out. So, nice.
Well, they wanted to, maybe it was the voice lines and autograph stuff that took some time, because they did repurpose it a bit. Since I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent about that, why don't you explain to people what the new system is? Because I think the new system is very good. I will say that it's much better than previous years in terms of like supporting us and actually having something that could be worthwhile for the players.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah. So we should, first of all, this is our podcast, so we should obviously sell the fuck out of ourselves for this. So you
guys don't buy Slax's voice line. All right. I want to hear that shit.
All right. So basically the way that it works is similar to previous years, talent get a voice line in the game, just that this time some talent got two, and I don't know who was selected and why. I guess you will get into that.
Oh, yeah.
As your perspective, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
But essentially the way that it works is you go to the compendium page, and then you can see every individual talent that is invited to this event from English, Spanish, Russian, and Chinese. And all of us were given the opportunity to provide voice lines, of which some were selected and some weren't. It's at Valve's discretion which ones get put in the game, but we're given like a guideline of stuff we can and can't do. There's obviously some things that go without saying that you can't make a voice line, but there might be some things where you're like, oh, is this okay or not? I don't know. And then you just confront those guidelines to see if that's something you can put in. So essentially what you do is you go to the compendium page, and then there's a section of that called talent, where you see all of us, and buying the talent voice lines, you can buy, there's like four tiers essentially. There's one that's just a sticker for your sticker collection, if people are into that, which is like $1. Then there's the glitter sticker that comes with the first voice line, which is $5. Then there's a holo sticker that comes with a voice line and an autograph rune that you can put on an item that costs $10. And then there's the highest one that costs $20, which comes with two voice lines, if there are two for the person, an autograph rune, and a golden sticker, if you're into that collection kind of stuff. So, that's basically it. 50% of the sales go to talent, similar to previous years, which by Dota standards is really, really good for workshop items. Usually, correct me if I'm wrong, workshop items are
25. Are actually
25 to the creator.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is obviously way better in terms of that. And the voice lines are permanent. So if you like a voice line and you buy it, this is not one of those where you're like, oh, it's going to be fun for a few months and then I lose it. So I don't know if it's worth the value. Mm. They have promised that all of this stays forever. So I want to say, just in full honesty, I think this time around, the average quality of voice lines across the English broadcast is the highest it's ever been. I think the voice lines have been really creative and really good this year. So they're very unique. Many of them are very different than other ones we've had in the past. And it's kind of difficult, actually, to keep coming up with new voice lines every year when there's, you know, it's not just you need to come up with something new for yourself. You need to come up with something that nobody else did the previous year to make it kind of, you know, creative, unique, and appealing for people to buy and fun to use.
What if I play them? I'm going to open my Dota. I can play them on the podcast.
Yeah, I guess you're just playing ours, right? If we play all of them, it'll take an hour.
Just you and I, of course. Fuck everybody else. You kidding me?
Yeah.
We're in this together, bro. Okay? Let's see what you got to work with. Yours were very cuddly, I have to say. Very wholesome.
Oh, yeah. You think so?
Takes me a bit to open Dota these days. You know how it is?
Yeah.
And Dota 2 coordinators down. Okay, back up. We're good. All right, here's Cinderins, everybody. The first one, which is when you purchase it for $5 for the glitter sticker. Here it is.
Aw, who's a good boy?
Is that... Can you guys hear that?
Aw, who's a good boy?
It's really low. Hold on, let me up my sound in Dota, actually. Is it master?
I mean, master will definitely raise it, right?
Holy shit, that's loud. Okay. Sure, this will be fine.
Aw, who's a good boy?
There we go. Okay, that's one. And then the second line that you got in is for $20.
So cute.
Good job, Cinderin.
Okay, let me give you a little bit of background about this. Okay. So the thing that's so funny about this is I submitted, you know, we each submit a couple of voice lines of which one or two get chosen. And I was like, they will never choose this one. And I still improved it because I was like, you know, I was expecting, because all the previous years we've got in one line each, right? So I thought, okay, they're going to pick one voice line of the ones I submit and it will not be this one.
Mm.
And then it turns out you can get more than one in. And then they picked this one as the second one, the high tier one. So I guess they thought this was the... I don't know how they're pricing them. If they think the best one is the one they put at the highest price point, or the best one is the one they put at the lower one, because you could argue for both. Putting the best one at the lower price point is one that more people can afford and will want to buy, whereas the higher one, that's maybe a bit more for people that have more spending money and just want to fuck around and have fun with it. Maybe you put a different one there. But anyway, they tiered them that way. I wanted to do like a sarcastic woo thing, and they actually fucking chose it for some reason.
Good job, Cinderin. You really hit a home run this time. I hope you made millions of dollars.
And the who's a good boy one, you said it's so wholesome. I feel like it's also really toxic if people use it that way.
That's true.
That's always the fine line we thread. How are people going to use it? Because people call each other dogs in game all the time. That's true. Inspiration for this. Anyway.
I'm glad.
All right, those are mine.
All right, here's mine. You only get one voice line for now, but I'm going to tell a story about it. This is the $5 one. Is this what SunsFan warned us about? So just the meme. Pretty standard. I'm going to close Dota now. I probably should have turned it down.
Reddit was all over this, obviously, because it's a very big meme on Reddit.
It's very catered to Reddit, like you said. And I actually did it in my normal voice because I had done it in different voices where I was being more aggressive, but people couldn't tell it was me. So they told me to be more monotone. My chat told me to be more monotone, so that's what I did. So it's just a standard line. So here's what happened, Cinderin. And I've cooled down a bit since.
Okay.
I was livid when they were released and I had one voice line. And most people got two. So as you said, previous years, we've sent in three voice lines. They pick one. It has always been that way. The rules, I actually looked, they don't actually say anything about how many they're going to choose. They just say send three. Then it gives you guidelines of no blah, 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 no blah, blah, blah. So first of all, there's a deadline, which I was 4 days ahead of time. I sent them in, mm-hmm. which is plenty of time for them to tell me not something didn't get in. So because they didn't contact us at any point saying they're going to pick two, because mm-hmm. to us, nothing has changed. They also didn't contact anybody about their lines not being appropriate or not being good enough to get in. So they just put in one. So after it came out, you know, I don't know if I say I overreact, but I get pretty upset about stuff in the moment. Mm-hmm. I messaged a Valve employee and they told me, I basically, you know, just said, what can I do about this? And they're like, probably nothing. Like, okay, that's great. Nobody, and I just, gave the list, like, you guys never told us this and all that good stuff. They told me to message PGL. So I write a whole angry email to PGL. Mm-hmm. And now they're telling me that I can send it in within the next 5 days or so.
Okay.
And the second one, if I can send two lines in and they'll choose one, and one of those will end up being the $20 version. So
Shannon, don't do it. Don't send the belch for the fourth year in a row. Don't. You have to stop yourself. So here's what you're not telling the audience. The reason you got in one voice line is that when you send these three suggestions, one of them is always a belch.
Yes.
So that one's an auto DQ.
Why though?
So now you're down to now you're down to two options.
Okay.
And one of them clearly got in, and the other one, I don't know what the fuck you sent in. Probably you farting or you screaming some sort of,
so,
I don't know.
If you want to hear my strategy, because again, people take, like Slacks has done this in the past, where you send in two stinkers, things that you know they're not going to put in, and it forces them to put in the third, right? So that's what I did.
They could also just not put in the third.
I submitted my belch, as always. Of course. I tell you every year I'm going to fucking do it. I send my belch in. And of course, they make you change the file name. So it's not actually called belch.mp3. Okay?
They don't know. I really hope. Okay, I hope. So you send them in with different file names. I hope you change every year which one is the belch.
Last year it was like number one. This year it was number three.
It's like the Valve employee that sits and has to check out these voice lines. Yeah. I hope they have like some sort of internal bingo where they make it a bet every year. Which one is Suns fans' belch? It's like the one where you have a coin under three cups and you make it. If you get the belch,
it's belch roulette.
To pay dinner.
Yeah, belch roulette's my favorite game these days. Anyway, back to the story. Whoa. So I put in the belch, of course, which I knew wasn't going to get in, which by the way is in the rules, it says absolutely nothing about anything related to like bodily fluid, like not bodily fluid, whatever you want to call it, bodily expulsion, whatever. Nothing like that.
Bodily fluids, you should do you pissing in the urinal. I'm sure they'll love that.
Yeah, that I could put that in. So, where was I? So yeah, I sent in the belch, of course, hoping that, of course, if it gets in, I'm a millionaire, plain and simple. They just don't want to make me a millionaire. They have something against me. And then the other two lines were actually the same line, essentially, which just different ways of me saying, Suns fan warned us. Is this what Suns fan warned us about? Because I wanted one of them to get in. So it's like, all right, whichever one you want to choose, do it.
Right.
They chose one, of course. But the problem I have is nobody contacted us to tell us that they had plenty of time. Like this, that was submitted like 3 weeks ago, for God's sake. You're telling me they couldn't have time to put in a second one? Anyway, so I'm happy that they're going to be putting in a second one anyway. So if you had bought which I'm sure nobody did, bought the expensive version, you will get that voice line eventually. Which, you know, part of it's unfortunate from my side because most of the sales are on the first couple days anyway, so I'm fucked. But whatever the case may be. I thought it would be fun, since this is such a unique occurrence, that we could all kind of, in the YouTube comments, maybe is the best place to do it, vote on what voice lines I'm sending in. Okay. So I've thought of a couple and you can help me with this. Okay. So one of them has been on my stream for a long time and I'm going to play it. Okay. I'm actually going to enable it on my stream so that I can actually use it.
Okay.
So enabling it. Yep. Somebody just used it. So that laugh. Okay. So that's again, I'm sending in two and they're choosing one. So they both need to be amazing, because I'm not taking the chance of sending a belch in and getting denied.
No, I was just going to say, this is where you go Giga Chad and you send two different belches.
Oh my fucking God. I would die if I saw them.
All right.
I would pay a lot of money to be in the room for the one I to prove a second one. You send two different belch tips.
You know, please, I'm not going to lie, Sendrin. I'm tempted. I am tempted. You know that I would, this is something I would do, potentially.
I know. It's like so funny. You're like the only person in this town list that would actually just do something like that. All right.
So I need help with the second line because I'm not really sure what I want to do. So this is another thing I was upset about. In the rules, it specifically says no screaming. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of fucking lines, especially by Slacks. It's literally just him screaming. So I'm going to send, I was thinking the second line is just me fucking screaming.
That's probably not going to get approved. I think what they mean by screaming is you literally, you know, like making a loud screeching sound or like, you know what I mean?
All right, I'm gonna do something into the mic.
Slacks,
and that's
Slacks is yelling, but he's not screaming.
That's the, it's a synonym. They're the same.
No, yelling and screaming are not the same thing.
They're basically the same.
That is just not true.
Do I need to look up the rules of what... Maybe they didn't... I don't know if they even said screaming. Do I have to look this up, Sindarin? Let's see.
I think you're not allowed to scream, which makes sense. Like, if you're just going to put in a screamer as a voice line, that's super annoying.
Oh, by the way, there is something I forgot to mention. Okay. There's something I forgot. So the whole... As everybody knows that watches this podcast, I submit my belch every year, and I know it's not going to get in, right? It's really sad. Mm-hmm. You know, the world...
It's really funny.
The world in general is sad about it, but at the same time, it is a funny anecdote. I did get my belch in one form, though, because on my sticker is a Simpsons-like version of me with, like, you know how Barney belches with his mouth?
Yeah.
That is in the sticker itself. So
it went through the cracks. They didn't realize what it was.
Because they probably thought it's me shoutcasting. Like, oh, that's fine.
That's what it looks like.
Valve, I'm fucking belching in that sticker. All right? I'm belching.
Oh, no. They're listening. I think they just lose your entire submission.
Yeah, if you guys see my voice lines go down in the next 24 hours, you know why. God. Okay, anyway. So I'm definitely sending in the laugh that I played. And I want to do like, I'm going to come up with two quick lines now, and then people can vote what the second line's going to be. Okay?
Okay.
So what about, I was thinking the screaming. So just me going crazy, just being fucking stupid. Something like, something like that. You think that?
Okay. All right.
Be good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We could do that. Just need to, okay. And then the third one, maybe something like a Chewbacca, like.
I think that is definitely better than the first one you suggested. As in the second one you suggested.
I don't want it to be too good because I want the laugh.
With those options, I would take Chewbacca or the Krusty laugh, but the Krusty laugh is the best one out of the three.
So I should send the belch.
Yes. I mean, send the Krusty laugh and a belch and you're in the clear, right?
But what if they don't choose the Krusty laugh?
That's unlucky. You tried.
I might actually send the belch as the second one.
Oh my God.
Well, let me know in the comments. That's all I have.
If you wait one day, I'm sure people will give a lot of suggestions in the YouTube comments. The wisdom of the crowd, you know?
That's true.
There's a lot of creative people out there.
Yeah, this is the one time you guys will get to do this.
Yeah, so, if you have a really great suggestion for a voice line, and that's where YouTube's like and dislike system is also really good, because then you can see if people really like an idea, and then there's a good chance that it'll do well. I'm kind of envious of that opportunity, actually. I would have liked that.
Yeah, I agree.
But like you're saying, you're obviously missing out on the early few days of this, which is where a lot of people buy their stuff. So,
all right.
But yeah, check out either way, guys. Check out our voice lines and check out the other talent lines as well. There's probably something in there that you guys think will be fun and they last forever. So you can use them in future years of Dota as long as this game still exists, which hopefully it will for a long time to come. There's a lot of good lines this year. So
good job, talent.
And you don't have a battle pass. So you have so much money.
Unbelievable.
That's true. Hey, you did. You don't have to buy a battle pass to buy the voice lines.
I mean, if you guys go hard, we might make more than the players this year. Anyway.
That's a meme, by the way. It's still not going to happen. Maybe for Slacks and Effie. Those are the only two probably making a lot of money.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
All right, let's move on to TI 2023 groups and predictions, Cinderin.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Did you buy the compendium, by the way?
I have not.
So I didn't either, and I'm not going to do it now, but you can open your game and actually predict. You go to the prediction page, and it says you can't predict. Then you you click the mouse, and you move it, and it moves like a really ghetto-style web page to the prediction area, and you can vote. I think that's not intended, but I did it. This is me submitting a bug to Valve as well.
That's funny. All right, well. I'm predicting.
Get those predictions in before they fix that bug, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, at the same time, the rewards are worth nothing if you don't have the compendium.
It doesn't matter. The points are cool looking.
Yes.
So yeah, I actually did those and I took pictures of them so I can actually show my predictions on stream and you can just tell me what yours are.
Okay.
So this is for groups A and B and C and D.
We're trying to place them all in order.
Yeah, so if I'm not mistaken, the last place in each group gets eliminated from the tournament, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then
everyone else goes to the bracket.
And then after the group stage, there's a seeding match where the top seed picks the 3-4 from another group to see who they play. And then once they play, they figure out who's upper bracket, lower bracket, correct?
Yes, correct.
God, I'm good. All right, so should I put mine on screen?
So you want to start with group A, yeah?
I took a picture of group A and B at the same time and C and D at the same time.
That's fine. So. I'll just go down the list with my predictions and then we'll compare, okay? First pick, Team Spirit.
Wait, hold on. Let me put mine on the screen. There we go. Go ahead.
Second place, Entity.
Okay.
Third place, Nine Pandas. Fourth place SMG, fifth place EG.
Ooh, all right. We got
and I hope I'm wrong because I love when EG do well. I think they're a really fun team to watch, but they have not looked good the last couple of months. So
yeah, they've looked like
unless
trash.
They really figure it out in this patch, then they are. I don't think it's unfair to say they're the underdogs of the group, and I think a lot of people will probably disagree with this and be like, yeah, but SMG haven't proven themselves internationally or whatever. I feel like SMG's level of play that they showed recently comparatively was better. But SMG are also playing with a stand-in, but it's a really fucking good stand-in. They've got mind control on offlane. So that's a bit of a wild card as well, right?
Yep, it's always a wild card. Could be amazing, could be dog shit.
He has done very well as a stand-in in general. I think he's going to fill Massaros' shoes pretty well. But of course, I mean, really fucking sucks for Massaros. As far as I'm aware, he's the only player who was not able to obtain a visa for this TI. Everyone else got one. So he's not going to go. So that sucks. So yeah, Spirit, Entity, Nine Pandas, SMG, EG in that order. That's group A.
All right, I went.
What's yours?
I went Team Spirit, Nine Pandas, Entity, EG, SMG.
Okay.
So the hardest one for me was the EG, SMG. I was about to flip-flop them. Entity has played well recently, but in the last year they haven't. So I went with Nine Pandas. So I think they've been pretty freaking consistent. I mean, Eastern Europe's been crazy this year.
Yeah. I think your bracket is as good as mine. I think it's very
I think either is very likely to happen, to be honest. The one I'm most confident about is, unless they drop the ball, Spirit is going to win this group.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very confident about that. They're so fucking
good. And can we talk about Group B?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I think this group is by far the most stacked versus the other. Like, this is the group of death for me.
Yeah. I think people are calling this the group of death. And this is, as we've talked about in a previous podcast when the format was announced, the downside to this format is that it's going to be increasingly difficult to make even groups. Because, first of all, what are the seeding criteria? When you make two groups of 10, as they've done in the past, it's just based on DPC rankings or whatever. And then just shuffle the regions around in two groups. But when you make four groups of five, where the bottom one gets eliminated and it matters a lot how you place, getting a good group seeding means a lot more than it did last year, I would say. I agree. I think Group B is the one that on paper looks the toughest. I think there's multiple teams in here that have a claim to a top three, even in the tournament, or at least a top six. So yeah, this one's hard. I'm going to put Shopify Rebellion first.
Whoa. Actually. All right.
I feel
they did really well in the last tournament. Yeah.
They got second in the last tournament, clearly beaten out by Spirit. But I think the pacing and the style that they showed was very refreshing and inspirational for that team in particular. I think the way Dota works right now is good for them. So I'll pick them to win the group. Second place, I will put at... Oh, this is so hard, man.
The top three is impossible.
Yeah, it's really impossible. It's LAN. So BetBoom is just always a question mark, right? They're so good online, but on LANs, what it matters the most is... All right. I will say second place is... Azure Ray.
Holy shit. Okay.
Azure Ray second.
Wow.
Liquid third, BetBoom fourth, and Thunder Predator fifth, or Thunder Awaken, sorry.
Wow, BetBoom fourth.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
That is specifically the LAN factor, because the level of play that they've shown and what their ceiling is has always been super high, and they've been really good in these online tournaments, but every LAN, when it matters the most, is when things... The thing is, though, this group stage is pretty short, and BetBoom usually come in... Guns blazing, right? They do really well the first couple of matches, and then things start shaking, like getting shaky.
It's when the crowd gets involved. It's when they get shaky.
Yeah. So maybe fourth is still... I don't know. I said it. I'll stick with it. Let's see. Azure Ray is maybe a little bit wishful thinking. I think they're potentially really, really good, but obviously this is some tough opposition they have here. But I'm pretty confident in the 1-4 that they all make it. I think Thunder Awaken in this group is clear underdog for me.
I feel bad for them. This group is...
This is very rough. Hard. Yeah.
I went BetBoom number 1, Liquid number 2, Shopify 3, Azure Ray 4, Thunder 5.
Wow, we're almost
yeah,
inverted.
This one is... inverted penis is very important.
That's good.
So Shopify, every time I put them first, they shit the bed. So I'm just going to give them... room to breathe.
I see. Okay.
Liquid have been pretty bad lately, but I feel like on LAN, they're extremely good.
Yeah.
It's group stage, though, so you never know. But yeah, I think BetBoom's going to come out destroying people. But we'll see.
I'm very curious. I think the biggest thing for me in this group stage, the thing I'm the absolute most curious about, is how good Azure Ray are going to be. I feel like this is the kind of tournament where you see in the groups if this is a team that can get top three or if there's just no way, whether they make it out of groups or not. I think it's going to be very telling. So curious to see their level against these boys, because a lot of the games that Azure have played have been local in China, and that region is not so strong right now. But their players historically have been very good at playing against Western-style Dota, many of them anyway. FY and Somnus and Chalice have had great results internationally. So Okay, Group C has... LGD, Gaming Gladiators, Nouns, Beast Coast, and Virtus Pro. Okay. First place, Gaming Gladiators. Second place, LGD. Third place, Virtus Pro. Fourth, Beast Coast, and fifth, Nouns. And... I hope Nouns do well. I hope I'm wrong about this one. There's a couple of their players that I just like some of their players, and I think it's really good for the NA region if this goes well. But it's hard until I see it happen to believe that they're on the level of these other teams exactly. I think Nouns' best game, they can beat anyone in this group, but they're quite inconsistent in my experience of watching them. So yeah, this is going to be my power ranking going in, but this is not one where I'm like surprised if they get third. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I have to put someone last. So.
I went game in first, LGD, yeah. Beast Coast, VP, Nouns. So okay. Just a slight third switch. Fourth flipped.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know that much about VP because we haven't cast a ton of them. So that one's a bit of a wild card for me. And Nouns, I do think they could come out swinging. I think they could have a good start.
I think so too.
So
I mean, I hope they do. I think if they're in form for this, I could easily see a top three. But a lot is decided on day one. So it's really about, are you in good shape when the tournament starts? This is fast. So, yep. Okay. Group D has Keed Stars, TSM, Tundra, Talon, and Quest. I'm going to pick Tundra to win.
Okay.
How good are Quest going to be on LAN? I'll take Talon second, Quest third, TSM, and then Keed Stars.
Okay, fifth. we have one swap.
Okay. For me.
Quest first.
Okay.
Talon, Tundra, TSM.
So you have Tundra third. BKS. Okay.
I think they're gonna see it. I think Tundra's gonna do well at the tournament, like top six maybe. But I don't think they're gonna get off to a good start. Just a hunch.
Yeah.
Because I mean, okay, we're talking about Thompson playing for them, and Nine switching positions to support. Like, I just have a hard time believing they're just going to destroy everybody right out of the gates. But
right.
Who knows?
I mean, they also don't need to destroy everybody. They need to destroy their group, and I think this group has some pretty good matchups for Tundra personally. Mm-hmm. So, I think some of their like hardest opponents are not here. Talon can definitely beat them. I think the Talon matchup is going to be harder on paper than the Quest one if the teams are playing to their potential. But who knows? It's early days of TI, so really is about who gets accustomed to the environment the best and has the right idea out of the gate. And that's another thing, right? Because what often happens in these 10-team group stages is that some teams come in with some really sick ideas day one and two and get a lot of wins, and then people start stealing ideas from each other and figuring out bans. In this group stage, if you have really good ideas day one and two, you're done. You're through. Mm. Right? So the adaptation phase here is very short. So having pocket strategies for this, even the group stage, might actually be really powerful. And I mean, pocket strategies is a term that's gone, in my opinion, but because what a pocket strategy used to be was like a 5-hero lineup that was very special in its way it functions. So I'll just say pocket picks then. Like you have like this one hero that's really special. Let's say you have a Meepo specialist and you can run it in a game where you see it's good. You can just
call it cheese then.
Yeah, sure. You can call it that. Okay. Are we doing the AB seeding and the CD seeding as well?
Yeah, I feel like the seeding stuff, we can just use that as a tiebreaker between us just in case.
Okay, sure.
These don't count as points unless that's needed.
So we need to not only guess who wins it, but we also need to guess who they'll play against, right? No, you just need to guess the opponent, not the winner.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think Spirit, with my prediction, out of Group B, will choose to play against Liquid rather than BetBoom. I think Entity will choose to play against the other one, right? They don't get to choose. They will play Liquid. Shopify Rebellion will pick... SMG or 9Pandas?
You're writing this down, by the way? Or you put this in your compendium?
I put it in the game, so yeah. I'm assuming it stays, right?
Well, they're going to delete it.
Otherwise, I can remember it, to be honest.
Okay, go ahead.
So Spirit, BetBoom, Entity, Liquid, Shopify, SMG, and Azure Pandas is what I said.
Okay, I say Team Spirit will pick Azure Ray, so that means 9Pandas play Shopify, and then BetBoom will pick EG, which means it's Liquid Entity.
It's okay, so we have the Liquid Entity match happening, both of us, but
next
oh, you groups. Can also pick the winner.
Well, no, it swaps them then.
Huh?
It swaps them.
No, you see, there's like there's a little crown next to the team.
Oh,
if
yeah,
you
yeah.
click that one, you're picking them to win.
Sorry. We should have gone over that as well.
Yeah. True. So I pick Spirit to win. Then I pick... Dude. All right. Liquid will beat Entity. Shopify will beat SMG. And Azure will beat Nine Pandas. Those are my picks.
I pick Team Spirit to beat Azure. Shopify to beat Nine Pandas. BetBoom to beat EG. And Liquid to beat Entity.
Okay. Second round of seeding. Gaming Gladiators will pick TSM, which means LGD will get Quest. Tundra will pick Beast Coast, which means Talon will play VP. And the winners will be Gaming Gladiators, LGD, Tundra, and Talon. So all the four first ones. All the pickers will win in this one.
Okay. Gaming picks TSM and Gaming wins.
Okay,
LGD same. Picks Tundra, or they can't. They just play Tundra, and Tundra wins. So the quote-unquote underdog. Quest picks VP, Quest wins, and Talon picks Beast Coast, Talon wins.
All right. Cool.
Okay. Very good. So that is the TI 2023 predictions and the groups and all that good stuff. It's starting tomorrow. Well, today, I think, technically. Sindarin and I will be casting starting next week. I'm assuming you're coming on the same day as me. We get to...
Yep.
Actually, hey, we should ask for a tour of the Valve offices. What do you think?
Oh my, why?
Because the last time... Well, the last time I took a...
Oh, you just want to get the free snacks, don't you?
They have lots of Snickers and...
You just want to... Can we have a tour of the Valve office? You just raid the fridge and leave.
So
and
I went there.
On your way out the door.
The last time I was there, it was a... Who was it? It was like a workshop artist that was interning at Valve. And he knew me. And he was giving me the tour and whatnot. And I started like eating a bagel. And he was really uncomfortable. He's like, I don't know if you should be eating that. And I'm like, I'm not leaving here until I eat this fucking bagel. Okay. Then I asked an actual Valve employee, I was like, of course, it's fine. They have like a literal, like entire marketplace there. Just take whatever you want and eat. It's amazing. But the thing is, like, I haven't seen their new offices because like a year or two later, and this was like TI4 that we did this, right? Like a year or two later, so 2016-ish or so, they moved offices. I haven't seen it. So would love to. That sounds fucking awesome. Bet their Snickers are just as good as before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not as good as the European ones, but that's fine. They're probably still good. Still Snickers, so.
Please.
Different recipe.
All right, last topic before we bid everybody adieu. Just checking how long we've gone. Actually, not that long today. Good job, Sindarin.
Good job, everyone.
CS2, as we know, has been released for quite a while. I've been talking about it on a semi-weekly basis. And it is now being review bombed on Steam. And has now become Valve's worst rated game ever. Your thoughts, Sindarin? And the main reason is this because... Well, I'll let you go first. Go ahead.
No, you should definitely go first. I haven't played it yet.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So. I mean,
it's... maybe that's fortunate.
It's a collection of things. Number one, the sad part is, and I said this on the podcast, I'm pretty sure... Maybe I'm just lying to myself that I remember myself. This is the goldfish memory kind of thing again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I said they should have just called it beta. Open beta.
Right.
Like, why does it need to be fully released? People are expecting a fully polished game. There's tons of bugs. The tick rate stuff is it's pretty bad. Like, when you compare it to what people are used to in 128 tick, it's not as good. I said that already. Definitely not as good. Like, they haven't really spoken about some of the issues with the balance at all. Like, they haven't addressed it. Like, SMGs and shotguns are beyond OP. Like, the MP7 destroys. The auto shotty, you could literally use it long range and kill people. It's insane how good this gun is. I'm telling you. You could literally use MP7 or auto shotty, and for the most part, unless it's extreme long range, you're going to have no issues. It doesn't need to be mid-range. That is a major issue.
But okay, hold up. Why though?
I don't know. I mean, they've done this before with other iterations of Counter-Strike.
Why are they rebalancing shotguns to be a mid-range weapon?
I don't know if they did it on purpose. They just haven't balanced it yet. They changed some stuff, and who knows?
Like, they've done this before where, like, when Go came out, the pistols, this is why I didn't like Go to begin with, because the pistols were absurdly good. Like, every pistol would be better than a lot of the SMGs and some of the assault rifles. So now it's just the SMGs and the shotguns that get that treatment. Also, some other weird things, like the AK-47, I don't know if this was 100% verified, but there were some Reddit threads about it, and people confirming that this was supposedly true. It shoots slower than the old AK-47, which is why the spray feels bad. I've been playing with it a lot more, and I'm much more comfortable playing CS now, by the way. The last time we talked, I was garbage. I'm a lot better now. I feel more myself. Nice. AK-47 feels, for the most part, fine, but like long range, like you'll do a double, like a two-round burst. The second bullet is not accurate at all on the AK, and maybe it's not supposed to be anymore. Definitely was before, so you just have to one-tap now. So maybe it's just stuff you have to learn. Another big one, and I talked about this, the tick rate. It's like the issue for me, it's not just like learning the new gun sprays and all that stuff. It's the movement feels trashy because what they did is this sub-tick system. First of all, they like Face is pretty angry about that, I'm sure. And all the pro players are, this is one of the big reasons that they're downvoting the game is because they've locked it to not, they can't do 128 tick anymore. It has to be 64 tick sub-tick. So it's like, I think it creates like a baseline of 64 tick, and then the sub-tick is supposed to make it feel theoretically better, like to a point that it's going to feel like 128 tick. But right now, it just doesn't, right? So like, even if you buy Face It or you make your own server, you can't, like, it's just going to all be the same, which I think that's fine if they make it feel like 128 tick. But the weird thing is, and I'm not saying I used to be like an amazing bunny hopper, but you know when you like jump around in a circle, like try to do bunny hopping? Yeah. Like, I can do it to a point where I'm keeping like speed, like at worst case scenario with a normal run. Like, it's not going to slow me down. It's just whatever. But when CS2 came out, it was making me so slow. Like, I could not bunny hop like remotely close. The movement just felt really choppy. So somebody did some investigation. This is crazy. And I'm not going to pretend to know all the details. So I'm just going to try to TLDR it. But the movement in the game is not consistent. Okay, so there's like inherent delay when you hit movement keys like WASD or jump, but the delay is not always the same. It changes for whatever reason. So a way to fix it, which has been out for like a week now, which I was expecting them to fix this, is you rebind your, you can use some different commands, but the one that I did is, it's a clear command.
Right.
So you say bind W and then you end with like clear semicolon or something like that. So that just like stops the command immediately. When you do that, it actually makes it instant and it feels like old CSGO and CS Source for me. So I can actually, I'm not saying I'm like a crazy bunny hopper, but now if the movement feels way better than it did before. And this is not like a placebo thing at all. This has been like factually proven with like the graphs on the screen showing the tick rate or like, you know, all that shit. So that is absurd that I have to put in a fucking command for it to feel good. That is absolutely absurd. So this is among some of the reasons that people are really upset with CS2 right now. But again, if they just called it a beta, I don't think you have any of these issues. Now, I will say, like, a lot, they're coming out with like fixes every day, basically. So they're doing it quite consistently, but a lot of the stuff is not the big ones, like the tick rate. That's the big one. And they haven't done anything with that as far as I can see. Like, there was a really bad bug where when somebody is planting the bomb and they put their head down, the hitbox of their head was actually where, like, it's an invisible spot above them. So people would look like they're shooting the head of somebody planting, like literally just standing still, opping, and it would not connect. And people are like, what the fuck? So they fixed that, right? That's a bug. But there hasn't been any mention about the tick rate stuff and what they're going to be doing to remedy it. That's TLDR.
Do you think Valve made a mistake converting CSGO to CS2? Like, should it have stayed as two separate clients for now?
Oh, for now.
No, I mean, in general, it was obvious that this was going to eventually happen, right? But do you think this was too early? Should they have waited until, let's say, 2 weeks later or a month later?
This is more of an opinion, I guess, but I think it's fine that they did that, actually. I just think you call it a beta and you are upfront with what the issues are. I think another big one, which I've mentioned in the past, is the lack of a real anti-cheat. Like, VAC is pretty bad compared to some of the, like, Face It type stuff, which have kernel access or whatever.
Right.
Which
root access or whatever.
People were upset about that initially when Riot did it, and I think that's just because it's a Chinese company, right? It's Tencent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Valve is even interested in doing kernel, but that's how you get no cheaters, or basically no cheaters.
I feel like Valve, on a fundamental level, on an ideological level, are against that. That's just a hunch that I have. I think they understand this, or I know they understand the strength of doing something like that, but I think they feel like it's not the right thing to do. And they will try to find a way of AIing their way out of this and training algorithms and whatnot to detect cheaters. But I can clearly hear from you right now that their program that they've been running to try to get the next generation of VAC up and running hasn't been successful, at least yet. The thing about training algorithms against stuff like that without knowing a ton about it is that generally this algorithm kind of stuff with training takes time, right? They need a big fucking sample size. They need really high confidence because this is something that bans people's accounts. So usually with something like this, you want to err on the side of caution in the beginning so you don't flag and ban a lot of innocent players, which does mean probably that more cheaters will slip through the cracks. But the magnitude that it sounds like right now honestly just sounds like the system barely works, which is very bad.
I can only speak for myself. In terms of the anti-cheat, I haven't run into like any spin bot, crazy aimbot stuff at all. But you can look on the leaderboard, and like these high-level players are complaining about it. And you look on the leaderboard, there's people that are like 5,000 MMR above everybody else with a 99% win rate. Like, obviously cheating. Like, so it's rampant enough that it gets to the point that they're still on the leaderboards at number one in some cases. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. So I don't know what the plan is long-term for that. And we talked about this months ago when CS2 first came out in like a closed beta access where almost nobody had it. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to do with this? Is this the big, like, what's the big plan? I think that's the main reason people are, like, I feel like if you're more transparent and you just say, you know, this is the stuff you're working on, this is what the plan is, I don't think people are going to be that upset, you know? Maybe I'm naive, though. Maybe they would.
I don't know. Anyway. It's like, maybe they, I mean, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, right? Because people want Valve to say when the game comes out, and then they say it's in the end of the summer, and then they release it at the latest possible end of the summer date that they could, more or less. So they still stuck to what they promised. But then they maybe didn't get as far with the development as they had hoped or whatever. And they also said the game would come out. So then I guess, I don't know if at that point you can flag it as a beta or whatever.
It begs the question, like, why do you go through all this effort to make a subtick system when you could just literally do 120 tick? I know that the price is maybe the issue. I find it hard to believe that it's that expensive.
I don't know the difference from 64 to 128 tick with how much of a server capacity difference that makes. I think it's pretty huge, actually. But either way, I think we talked about this either previous episode or the one before as well. It's like, sometimes, you know, if there's someone at Valve that's really passionate and has a really good idea for the subtick idea and they sell it to the rest of the company, they're like, okay, this is what I'm working on or what our little team is going to be working on. This is the potential of this technology. We're going to put in a ton of effort to try to get there. I think Valve's like creative approach to making games is to try to let those people thrive and give them the faith that, okay, if the idea sounds good and sounds implementable, then we're going to invest in that.
Right.
And then if it doesn't work in first iteration, they're not just going to instantly scrap it. Then they're going to try to reiterate on it and reiterate and reiterate and do it 20 times before they're like, okay, this just doesn't work. It was a great idea, failed project. What a shame, you know? But I don't think they've reached that point yet. So I think they're still trying to improve the subtick system. And if they reach the goal for what they were presenting, it can do. It could be, you know, in this genre especially, it can be revolutionary, right? And I think Valve would way rather have, you know, new technology that is groundbreaking than having, you know, just the quote-unquote good expected solution that works. So
I hope
I would give them more
out.
Rope on this. I really hope it works out too, because it sound the concept of it sounded really cool. But sometimes you have a great idea and it just doesn't work. But I think they deserve more time than this to make that system work. Now, what you could do in the meantime is, of course, a Band-Aid solution where you put up 128 tick servers. but then you're investing in them, and then if your subtick system works, what are you going to use?
Well, you know? That's the thing. I think if you're going all you in on this plan, commit,
right?
You have like you commit to this 64 tick subtick whatever, and that's where you're getting all your data from. You want everybody to be using the same system, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just weird because like it's like what that saying, trying to fix what's not broken, right?
Right.
Like 128 tick, maybe the price is what's broken. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. Like I know Valorant, I was told that they don't actually use a 128 tick server. They use like three servers running simultaneously on 64 tick and like some weird system where it ends up feeling at like 128 tick. I don't know the details. Okay. It's over my head. All I know is Valorant, for all its faults and all the stuff I don't like about it, feels fucking amazing. Like in terms of smoothness, better than any Counter-Strike version, including the 128 tick. Just silky smooth. That is the one thing that they have like down pat way better than anything that Valve has done for CS. So and I'm not saying it even needs to get to that point, but if you get to the 128 tick feel, then fine. It's good enough.
It's just in this genre, that is just such an important parameter, right? It's like, I wouldn't give a fuck about this in Dota. You know, it's not that important in Dota, whether it's 128 or 64 tick. Yes, in some fringe cases, it makes a difference for how spells interact or whatever, but the smoothness in Dota is never brought into question about whether the game runs well like that. Not in tick rate, that's not the issue. But for this genre, it just, I don't know. I think, again, that is also why Valve are trying to innovate and trying to revolutionize it, because they understand how important it is to player experience that this is so smooth. And I think their end goal is to beat out Valorant on this parameter. But as you said, for now, they've just missed the mark. So
there's another funny one. Wouldn't have mentioned this other than the fact that it is hilarious. There's this, so people have been getting killed behind walls a lot
because I've seen some clips.
Interp, like basically, if you have like high ping, sometimes it just feels even worse. To the point where now they are changing. I don't know if this is actually directly related, so this could be slightly wrong, but they changed the animation now of when you strafe, like go left and right, and it looks, because they haven't redone like the rigging of the model and like the animation. They just made it work real quick. It looks like they're calling it the Michael Jackson slide, because it looks, they made some hilarious videos about it, and it is hilarious looking. So they're putting on, they are putting on Band-Aid solutions, which eventually will look fine, I'm sure. But like I said, the big question marks for me are several things, and I think they're all connected to the Premier matchmaking, but it's the anti-cheat and the tick rate stuff, because I think if you get those two things correct, then people will use the in-game matchmaking, and then you'll have the rankings just like Valorant does, and I think that's what they want to try to accomplish.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I've been playing it, and I've been having fun, so
we should play sometime.
We should.
I do have it installed.
Oh. So. Are you able to play competitive/premier?
No.
Because you're... Are you sure you can't?
Oh, well...
You just have to have, like, certain level account in...
Oh,
CS.
Then I can't, because I could play ranked in CSGO, but I don't have a medal.
I think that's...
Because of decay. I lost my medal because I don't play enough.
I think that's fine.
Okay, then I can play ranked, I think.
Oh, we're going to have some really bad games. Well, we can play in Seattle. They might not be computers, though.
Oh, no.
We'll have to figure it out.
We'll see. Yeah.
All right.
Hijack a team room.
Yeah, true. Oh, what are we doing for next week's podcast, then?
That's just TBD, right? So we will have landed that Thursday. But I think as we usually say when we go to lands, it's a little bit TBD what we do. We're not going to give this exact time because there's no guarantee that we're even available at the time we usually record there. It would be really late at night there, so maybe not ideal. And we'll try to get guests, right? At least one guest episode over there.
I mean,
would be cool.
I don't know. We'll see. We do have a guest episode.
Last time we had an episode with Seb, right?
I will say.
Was that TI? I think it was TI.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Don't give people hope, okay? We don't know what's going to happen. But
I'm giving myself hope.
I'm telling you, because I haven't told you yet, we actually have a guest lined up for after TI. Not the one right after TI, but the episode after, probably.
Okay.
After that. I think people will enjoy. It's going to be eye-opening for the future of Dota, potentially. So
Well,
it's Ice Frog, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't make it out to be. Don't make it out to be that thing.
This is what Suns fan warned us about. There we go. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna have the most amazing episode. It'll be groundbreaking, and then it's just, you know,
Ice Frog. I will empty my bank account for you to. No, I won't actually. I'm gonna say that for him to come on the podcast.
I need those $200 for game dev.
Yeah, we do have to pay. Do have to pay our game devs. So, okay. So yeah, we'll keep you guys in the loop on. I was going to say on social media. I've not been using social media at all.
I have effectively more or less stopped posting on Twitter and Facebook. And I don't know if it's something I should. It's kind of discouraging when I feel like the algorithm changes. This is a totally different topic than what we were planning, but whatever. The algorithm changes on Twitter hit really hard, right? In terms of reach. I feel like after it got changed, the things we post just don't reach very many people. And I generally see way fewer Dota tweets, despite following a lot of Dota
people.
That's
because you need to tweet racist things now. I think that's the requirement to get a lot of likes and whatnot.
Like, when I open Twitter, probably 80% of my feed is, like, random popular stuff with over 10K likes that has nothing to do with what I usually use to watch or like or read. It's just trending stuff. It's essentially just most popular gets pushed. So when you tweet something or when you try to find tweets from people that you want to read, I feel like they get buried too much behind stuff that you don't even follow, right?
Yeah.
So that's that change was quite discouraging for keeping this active, because I felt like when I was actually posting stuff, very few people got to see it, and then kind of what's the point, you know? You're trying to reach your followers, but they don't get to see your tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weird.
Yep, so. I agree. I've been demoralized. Anyway. So what should people... What should they check to? I'll still tweet. If we change the date, I'll try to remember to tweet something.
Right.
We'll see. Okay. Great end to the episode. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Have fun watching TI. We will start casting next week. Hopefully it's hype. Peace out.
Bye.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe. And buy our voice lines in Video Game Dota 2.